Well, if you weren't here, if you're listening by the radio or website, or you're catching up on a sermon that you missed, we had talked earlier, before the preaching part, about as you're walking through difficult times in life, as you're walking through a struggle, as you're walking through maybe something that you feel is deficient in your own life, or maybe just a tough relationship, or maybe a disappointment with God, or maybe specifically facing fear or doubt. And as you kind of walk through that, as God shows up in the middle of that, as people gather around you and you begin to see God's response to that, as you begin to see God's answer come through, we just challenged people this morning to really like take note of that and really then own that. That becomes something that you then possess. We talked about Peter and John saying, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you." Talked about Jesus being able to still the storm, not simply because when he emptied himself of his divinity, he was fully God but fully man. He lived his life on earth by the power of the Spirit of Christ in him. But he was able to still the storm, not just because he was the one that created the waters. He could do it from that perspective, but he did it as a man would do it, because he possessed the peace already in him. He didn't just have to hope that if he prayed, God would hear him and maybe they would get him through on the other side. He took what he already had and brought it to the outside. Does that make sense? What he possessed already. And if you doubt that that is a spiritual principle, and we also talked about how Satan really, honestly, if you really want to kind of take it at its root, he really only can just pervert the things of God. He doesn't have a lot of raw materials of his own. So he takes things that, the same thing that God would do, and twists it and puts it in a negative way. So you guys, we kind of all know, now this is new stuff now. Now we all know that we're all caught up on the same page. So we know that if you're carrying around unforgiveness in you, you own that. That's yours. And it starts to be manifest in other ways, doesn't it? Ulcers or sicknesses, or it also not just internally, but it begins to affect the outside atmosphere, doesn't it? You guys ever been in that? You don't answer, but you ever been in that position yourself or with someone else that you just know that just carries just an acute unforgiveness or a bitterness? Like it doesn't just... it's not just a thing. Once you possess it, you have the power then. It's a spiritual principle. You have the power then to let that be external. What you possess, you can give away. So if I'm carrying bitterness in me as a spiritual principle, this is a spiritual principle. Because I possess it, I've got the power to give it away. And you've seen the word... people react to it, but the word toxic people, so many times we're toxic people. We, you know, fortunately God gets a hold of our hearts and lets someone come alongside of us and help us walk out of that. But we can be toxic people, and that really, that's not a spiritual thing. That just is a kind of a worldly phrase, but it's true. And the reason we can be that, the reason you can have toxic people is because we possess that now. And I now, as a spiritual principle, God gave me that authority as a spiritual being. I can now give that to you. Here, take what's mine and have my unforgiveness, have my bitterness. Have you ever sensed that? Have you ever walked into that? You guys know sometimes when people walk into a room, and now please don't be all condemning and stuff, but I'm just saying as a matter of fact, sometimes people walk in a room and there's just a darkness. Like either it's a negativity or it's bitterness or it's anger, just a heaviness. Like they possess that and they can give it away. That's a perversion of a spiritual principle that we don't really all grab a hold of. It's really meant to possess the character and nature and the things of God and give them away, right? Everyone's breathing easy. All right, we're done talking about the bad stuff. And that's really what that principle is meant for. So that was just a great segue, like unintentionally. I love Barb prayed this morning just about God orchestrating the service as we were praying beforehand, about God just lining things up. And that was so cool because that was totally unexpected, but yet it fits Exactly. What would we call? There's a word for it when you walk through. So here's the statement. Here's the statement that I made earlier. When you walk through those, let's really be careful that as we walk through that, that we grab a hold of that so that we can use it for something else. There's a principle in God's word. There's one word in God's word, a principle that is talking about, and the word is stewardship. What comes to mind, honestly, when you think of stewardship? If I say the word, what is it? Finances, yeah, absolutely. When we hear the word stewardship, so we're talking about stewardship today. Everyone clench your wallet a little tighter. We're not talking necessarily about finances, but we're talking about a principle. I want to talk about a principle of stewardship. And everything we've talked about up until this point falls under the heading of stewardship. It falls under the heading of stewardship. God, stewardship, can anyone define it? Does anyone know what it like really means? Any ideas, any hunches, any clues? Pastor says we're not supposed to talk in church on Sunday morning. Take a resource and control or designate where and how it's used. Absolutely. Let me read a couple things. Stewardship. The word comes from the Greek word oikonomos, which I can only pronounce because it made me think of icarumba. I'm just saying. I read that Greek word. I have not per se been to Bible college. I have been to a Bible college, but I did not learn Greek there. I learned lots of things there. Greek was not one of them. So I had to look up how to pronounce, because I kept trying to sound it out. I don't know. You can't really sound out Greek words. So I was trying to sound it out. I'm like, I don't know how you say this. And so then I finally found it in a dictionary, and it had the little pronunciation things. I'm like, oikonomos. I'm like, oikarumba. That's what it sounds like to me. So it comes from the Greek word oikonomos, which means somebody who manages a household. Let that just settle in. So what would it look like? Hey, have you guys ever heard of Airbnb? Anybody? Some of you techie people have, yes. Or traveling people. It's where you take your place and you rent it out to someone that would want to stay there versus a hotel. So there's just people could be showing up from anywhere. You guys are thinking about doing that, right? No, I'm just kidding. So if you've got some extra bedrooms, or say you travel a lot for work or whatever, you're gone and your house is just sitting there empty, you can rent out your house or whatever. Well, you would hope that they would be good stewards of your stuff, but they're kind of like just temporary stewards. But imagine if you, like, say you did leave and you hired someone to manage your household. Now, it was going to be an extended leave. So not only did they have to, like, just make sure that your house is clean, what else would be involved? If they're managing your household, let's say just you were gone. Maybe your family is still there. What would they need to do? Because this was common in those days. What would a manager of the household need to do? Or if you, any of the novels from England, you know, in the old days, the kind of the house manager, I forget what they were called, but, you know, where they just kind of took care of the affairs of the estate. You would have to make sure that the floors got mopped. You'd have to make sure that the grass got cut outside. It's not just, like, there's so many. Are the kids getting a quality education? And if not, what needs to be done to change that? Are the, you know, does anything else need repair? Is there something, like, it would be more than just thinking, am I using this for evil or good? Like, we kind of, like, limit that definition of stewardship down. Okay, well, good steward of my money. Well, I'm not buying drugs. Okay, so good. All right, I think we're covered. You know what I mean? Like, we think it's like, just don't do bad stuff with it. But stewardship would really be, what is my master's heart for the vision of this thing, and what do I do to further that? Right? Because let's say that you were like was common, you know, you were in charge of the estate, which also included the kids, like thinking of their education. Like, you would really, if you were going to do a good job, you would really want to capture the master's heart for his kids, right? Like, what would I, like, if they're struggling in math, we'd want to get them a tutor. If they're really excelling in the sciences, I would want to find relationships with other people that are scientists and use my influence to maybe bring them into their lives so that, because that seems to be something they're excelling in. You would do more than just not doing bad things with it. You would want to look at what you're stewarding and really use it in a way that propels not your vision of what you think the property and the family and whatever needs to be, but what the master's heart is. And that's really the thought behind stewardship. So it's not just a one-dimensional thing. There's so many different facets of it. And another dictionary definition is the responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring for and preserving. Do you guys have anything in your life that is worth caring for and preserving? Yes. Your health, your job, your children, your relationships, your family, your stuff, I mean, at times. And so as being a good steward, Jason's going to pull up a verse for us here, 1 Peter chapter 4. If you want to look it up, you can. If you want to trust that this really is the Word of God, it is. It's the Revised Standard Version. I was looking this up yesterday, and I'd seen this before, but what a cool verse. As each has received, can we just read it? Okay. As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Say stewards. Stewards. Okay, so that means managers of not just a one-dimensional, am I going to do it for bad or evil? Like there's more than that involved. Say complex. Like stewardship, there's so many facets of it. Okay, let's keep reading. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks is one who utters oracles of God, whoever renders service as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. What is it telling us here? Well, let's start at the beginning. So we don't even need to go any further than that. When you read your Bible, you should read it like this. So has each, like, stop. Who's he talking to here? Who's each? Everybody say, I'm an each. Now, because I'm a youth pastor, we do things youth pastor way. Look at your neighbor and say, you're looking each-y today. Some of the adults are like, I don't think that's proper. We're not going to do it. It is proper. You should do it. I love that because I had never seen that part of the verse before. Each is given a gift. Each is given a gift. Wake up in the morning and go, I'm an each. Now, sometimes we struggle to really identify, well, I don't have any gifts. Like, we struggle to identify what those gifts would be. Sometimes they look different than you think they might look. Some of you just have an uncanny ability to sense when someone else is struggling and they don't even say it. They don't tell you. They look happy on the outside. Like, you just got this ability. You just know. I just know. Like, just I can tell they're going through something right now. You're an each. Okay, some of the Bibles, there's the ones that the Bible talks about, like, very clearly. There's encouragers. There's givers. The Bible says that God's given us the ability to produce wealth. Some of us have more ability than others. There's a supernatural ability for us to be a conduit, a funnel, for God to flow blessings through. And we all have that capacity. Some have just been given an extra grace, an extra gift. There's leadership, there's administration, there's gifts of comfort, and there's gifts of helps. There's the ones that the Bible lists out, and there's other ones that are branches of those that you might not find in the Bible, but is clearly a gift in your life. You clearly have this capacity. It's just natural. Well, that's just my personality. Right, exactly. Like, God has put those gifts in you, and just because something is, well, that just comes naturally to me. I don't know what my gifts are. Right? If it just comes naturally to you, if your heart is pulled towards it, if there's a way that God can be glorified in it, there's probably a good chance that that's something God's put his finger on in your life. We're all different. There's, you know, 7 or 8 billion of us. And we all have the fingerprint of God on us. We all have a different mix of these things. So he says each has received a gift. All right? Some of those gifts are more public. Some of them are speaking. Some of them are, you know, being on a stage, you know, singing or an instrument, you know. Some of them are quieter. They're behind the scenes. But here's what we're to do with it. Employ it for one another. Like, be a steward of that. And here's where we want to point that gift, not back towards me. So how that's going to better my life. If we've been given a gift, the way that we're good stewards of that is we use it for other people. Right? We use it for other people. We use it for other people. We point that towards their benefit. We use our gifts to benefit others. We use what we've been given, and as a good steward, as a manager of that, we point it out towards other people. Aspen was sitting by me on the couch last night as I was typing this out, and she was looking. I was struggling with a quote that wasn't printing right or whatever, and so she was trying to talk to me, and I said, sorry, I got to just get this. So she started reading my stuff. She said, Dad, are you preaching what we've been talking about? I said, yeah, I really am. That's so cool. So we've been having this conversation. I've been having this conversation with a few of you guys about just this idea of stewardship. And so she's not in here, is she? She just got the opportunity to lead worship for the very first time at Unite last Wednesday night, and I'm just a proud papa. Tell you what, she's just been working and learning and growing. And so part of this came up in her conversation. Dad, do you ever get nervous? Is it okay for me to be nervous? I said, oh my gosh. Yes. Well, but if it's God, I shouldn't be nervous, right? I'm like, who told you that? That's ridiculous. I'm like, if you're not nervous, it's like, I mean, just honestly, I don't know if you've ever stood here and looked at out there on a Sunday morning. I don't know. It doesn't mean anything. It just means you get nervous sometimes. And so we talked about, I said, you've been doing everything that you need to be doing. And yes, this was a goal, but even if this wasn't a goal, be a good steward. God's given you a heart that's drawn towards being able to play music. So play it well. That's why I was explaining to her, that's why I keep pushing you. That's why we're learning, you know, like she's super excited. Dad, look, I can do this. I'm like, that's awesome. And then 2 weeks later, I don't want to hear, Dad, I can do this and the same thing again. Like, we saw that. I love that you can do that. I'm not putting that down. But we want to stretch and increase, even if we don't see, like, well, I'm training for this. And so we actually ended up talking about David and Goliath, which we may get to, and we may not. But look at this next section. Whoever speaks as one uttering the oracles of God, whoever renders service as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies. I think, here's what I think, because this verse always I always read that first part. Whoever speaks as one who utters the oracles of God. This whole verse is talking about stewardship. Stewardship by nature is a process. Say process. It's a process. It's a series of moments throughout our life that we take something that's what I was going to tell you about Aspen. Hold on, because I just remembered it. We were talking about stewardship So she's learning chords and she's stretching. And so I said, you're going to hear us talk about a word a lot. It's called stewardship. The cool thing about stewardship is it's not ours. We don't own it. You don't own this gift. Now, I know I just said earlier you own this. Now, these are two different things. This kind of owning I'm talking about, it came of my strength and my will and my, like, it all comes from him. It's all his. So anytime I, as a speaker or a singer, a musician or a helper or a deacon or whatever I am, anytime I'm pointing back towards me, that's not, like, I'm just like saying, it'd be like if Shauna gave me an awesome stereo to hang on to for a while, and this is actually not with Shauna, but people have given me cool stuff, and you feel like you kind of just, your shoulders raise up, and you're like, wow, look what I got. all the while in the back of your mind, you're going, this isn't really mine. Like, she's letting me use it, and I'm, you know, bringing my friends over to my house and rattling the plates off the wall. We used to do that. We used to, they're not here, they're in the back room. These great big speakers, they're like this high. Go in the youth room sometime and see them. We used to have one of those in our house. So for youth parties, we'd crank up Toby Mac or something, and we would actually knock plates off the wall. Our neighbors loved it. I got distracted. Okay, anyway, so we were talking about that it's not ours. We're just managing it. It'd be like the property manager going, check out my house. Like, wait a minute, you're just taking care of the boss's house. Yeah, you're right, never mind. You know, so if we've got a gift and each has been given a gift, it always points back to him. But that doesn't mean that we just want to play it off as nothing, because it's not nothing. He's given us a gift. So we want to develop that. We want to use that. So I was looking at this. Whoever speaks is one who utters the oracles of God. That seemed odd. Like, thinking of someone who, like, in your mind, just, I'm going to say that phrase and just see what picture paints in your mind. One who utters the oracles of God. You know, like, you get this picture of someone in a, you know, up on a stand in a robe, you know, I mean, because honestly, just because it uses the word oracles, that just seems like a really cool big word, uttering the oracles of God. And it's telling that to everyone who speaks. Now, hold on. I've heard people speak before whose hearts were passionately in love with Jesus and who had a gift to speak, who did not sound like the picture in my head of someone, like, it was clunky and they dropped their notes and it was just, I mean, it was a little rough. I knew they had a gift in their life, and that's happened many times. So what does that really mean? I love that it's speaking to process. Hey, you've been given a gift to speak. Let me paint a picture of what that's to look like as one who speaks the oracles of God. That's not how I talk. I know. So we have a problem. You're right. What should I do? Read a dictionary. How many times have we just heard over throughout the years, and I've probably said it myself. If God wants me to, you know, then he'll, right, fill in the blanks. And that's true, but he also, stewardship is the idea that we partner with God. We partner with him. We carry some responsibility in this. It'd be like the owner of the house coming back and the manager saying, hey, if you wanted those floors clean, you would have had them clean. And he's like, no, you're the manager of it. You steward this house well. Oh, so if God has given you the gift of speaking, then we need to read some good books. We need to learn some new words. We need to stand in front of a mirror or videotape ourselves. Well, that doesn't sound spiritual. Right? It's our responsibility in that spiritual process of stewardship. If our gift is to play guitar, I should know some scales or some notes or how to read a chord or something. I should be increasing in my ability to handle that. If your gift is compassion, find some books on compassion. Study the Word of God and see what it talks about compassion. Find out how I can be compassionate without being a rug that gets trampled over. And, you know what I mean? Like, find the pitfalls of it. How do I avoid the pitfalls of my... Do you know what I mean? Steward your gift well. Steward it. Like, it's been given to you for someone else so that it doesn't point to you, but you have responsibility in taking that gift forward. It's a process. So I just loved seeing that. And that at the end, if we all do that, you start to see a greater expression of the glory and dominion of God. As we're all taking our gifts, like, it's amazing to come and hear a great preacher, you know, or an amazing worship team, or, you know, something that moves you. But that's not necessarily transforming society. Okay, those are powerful moments, and I love those. You know, we just were in Minneapolis this weekend with some incredible, incredible people just some worship nights and a leader's session, and just got to hear a pastor's heart talking about what he's seeing across the nation. God's doing some really cool things right now. And it's a time where you could choose to get discouraged, or you can choose to look at the amazing things that God's doing. So it's a process, but if that's the only thing that we see is just one guy with one gift doing one thing, it's important. People get saved, they mature in their Christianity, but what if 100 of you or 1,000 of them took the gifts that were in them and stewarded them well, and pointed to Jesus, increased their capacity to flow in that gift, and pointed it towards others to serve and to give and to love, and let that glorify Christ? Some of you have been given gifts for business. You got a business mind. Some of you are creative. Some of you are inventors or engineers. Some of you have ability to be in hospitals or school systems. Some of you are great at book work. Like God has given so many gifts. Like, the bulk of what happens in the kingdom of God should happen outside of here. Some of you may have the gift to hand out Gideon Bibles. You know, that you might have just unmerited favor to walk in places and just be able to do that. Steward that gift, and the glory of God can increase. Let me just finish up. Let me read this quote by C.S. Lewis. I just read Mere Christianity. Has anyone in here read Mere Christianity? A couple of you. It's an incredible book. I would encourage you you like that one? Yeah. I would just, it's one of the great Christian literature, you know, I mean, there's just tons of them, but that's just one of them, and I'd never read it, and so I was at the point where I felt I was ready to read something like that, and it's just profound. I just love it. So one of the quotes C.S. Lewis said, talking about God owning everything and pointing it back towards him, he says, quote, "Every faculty you have, your power of thinking and moving your limbs from moment to moment, is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his own already." Our ability to reason and think, the unction in our heart to be drawn to him to worship, like, it's all his already. Like, we couldn't do that without him. It's like C.S. Lewis went on to describe, it's like, he called it a sixpence, we can call it a couple bucks, whatever. If it's like the dad giving the kid a couple bucks to go buy the dad a present. Right? That's an oversimplified version, but that's what God does. You know, when we're, hey, I'm really worshiping God this week, I'm really serving him, he's the one that gives you the ability to respond to him. He's the one that gives you the capacity to reason, to think that's even a good thing to serve him. Like, do you know what I mean? It's all his already. And so we're, in a sense, we're like those children that got $2 from dad to go buy him something, you know? Like, we're involved in it. We have choice in it, but it's really all his anyways. And so I just love that, pointing it back to him. Let me just finish with that story about David and Goliath with Aspen. I was just telling her, I said, you know, David never knew that he was going to face Goliath. There was no big prophetic dream. There was no angel from heaven that visited him. He was developing character out with sheep. Dad said, watch the sheep. Guess what I'm going to do? Watch the sheep. Along comes the most powerful guy in Israel. In fact, it said when he entered the gates, the leaders of Bethlehem came and trembled and said, have you come peacefully? Tremble? And he said, I come in peace. And so then he went to the house of Jesse. Where's all your sons? You guys know the story. No, it's not this one. The Lord's rejected him. Don't look at outward appearance, you know, on and on. Huh. Any more kids? Well, yeah, there's one more, but he's out with the sheep. All right, well, bring him in. We're not going to sit down until he comes in, okay? He comes in, and God says, that's the one. And so they have really the equivalent of an inaugural service, like for our president. I mean, they anoint him with oil. You're the new leader of Israel. What would you feel like? Like, what would the process be in your head? Like, other than just shock and, oh, my goodness. Like, your next thought would be like, okay, well, so do I go to the palace then? Or like, and the very next thing you do, Dad says, go watch the sheep. Hey, buddy, you know who you're talking to here? So what does he do? went and watched the sheep. He was, let me challenge you with this. It was what we were challenged with at our leaders meeting in the cities this weekend. Steward the moment you have right in front of you well. The moment you have right now is the only moment that you are guaranteed. That is it. If it's a trial, steward that well. Marnie and I are in the middle of a couple different things right now that are hard for us to walk through. And we know that we need to steward it well. We know we need to steward our hearts. Like we're not, like, it just, I mean, just every day, we're like, we're going to do this well. God's going to give us, there's a process happening here. Regardless of what happens in any other circumstance, regardless of outward, we know it's got to be inward. That we're like, God, thanks for trusting us with this. We're going to handle this well. We're going to love well. We're going to serve well. We're going to give well. We are, by the grace of God, we're going to steward this thing. What are you in the middle of right now? The moment that you're in, whether it's a mountaintop moment, are you stewarding that well? Whether you just are just discovering new things within you, steward them well. Whether it's a trial, steward it well. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's a stewardship verse. He's calling you to steward your heart. Where are you pointing your heart? This is my heart, right? Well, yes and no. It's God's heart. He made it all. He's the one that gave you the capacity to even realize that you have a heart. You get it? We're stewards of it. If you place that into the desires of God, then he'll begin to breathe on that. And he'll change your desires to his desires. And you know what I mean? So it's about stewardship. So I was just telling Aspen that David didn't train to fight Goliath. He was out stewarding his moment. I'm going to be a sheep guy. The only sheep guy here. I'm the best sheep guy here. But I'm going to be the best sheep guy here. Even if there was 10 other sheep guys, I'm going to be the best sheep guy. Not for pride's sake, but because my dad told me to. And I want to, and developing character. Oh, there's a bear? Stop it. Don't take my sheep. And a lion? I'll wrestle you. Get my sheep back. God, why do I have to be in a sheep pen wrestling lions and bears? And I'm such a... Oh, I'm a loser, right? How are you stewarding the moment you're in right now? David stewarded it well, and because he stewarded it well, he walked into another situation and went, hey, you're not doing anything about this? Why not? To him, it was exactly the same. He knew that it was all God's. Well, God's going to defeat the giant, just like a sheep or bear. It doesn't matter. It's not the size of the sheep or bear giant. It's the size of God. And he had known that well because he was stewarding those moments. He was stewarding those moments. The Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. That's always been a huge verse for us. Whatever you're struggling with, stop seeing it as something to get through. The gold is not on the other side. The gold is right now, right in this moment. In this moment. And Jason, can you do the 1 Samuel 16:18? I know we're getting a little long here, but... I want you to see this. I want you to see the result of David being a good steward. So this is before Goliath. But he's already been anointed. And he said, King Saul had an evil spirit, and he didn't like that, and he got all just crazy. And so one of his helpers, his servant, said, hey, find a guy that can play the harp. And I want to show you this verse. One of the young men answered, behold, I have seen a young son of Jesse. He's skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war. He's prudent in speech. He's a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. Behold, I have seen. Behold. David never did that publicly. David was just stewarding moments. All right, this is the day the Lord has made. All right, what am I going to do with this? Ooh, bear today. God, why me? No, I'm going to steward it well. Stay away from my sheep. He stewarded that moment. And every one of us has a dream in our hearts. Every one of us, whether you think that's from God or not, you've got a dream of what you want to see your family look like, right? You've got a dream of what you want your future to look like. You've got maybe some of you specifically, God has spoken into your heart. Here's some promises. Here's a future that I have for you. And I believe that. The way that we get to that future, stewarding this moment right now, and you're going to have a behold moment. People are watching. God is watching, and God is the steward of the behold moment, where someone says, behold, I've seen Crystal. She's diligent in her work, and she's full of integrity. Let's promote her. Or behold, I've seen Luke. They didn't know that I was watching, but he showed up when nobody else did, and it would have been really easy for him to just kind of slack off. But I watched him work as hard as he did when no one else was around, and he didn't know that I was watching. Do you know what I mean? Steward your moments that you have right in front of you, and let God take care of the behold moments where God gives you advancement. So often, God doesn't advance us because our character can't maintain it. He's always building framework in you. And those happen in the middle of your trials. Those happen in the middle of your everyday moments. Let me finish with this, really, this time. Jesus said in Matthew 25:21, you've been faithful over little, I will set you over much. I love that. I will put you over much. It says, I will set you over much. The last thing I heard, someone, very sad story. It was a person I know I was having a conversation with, and they're in a rough situation and going to be getting a divorce probably. And the line that they said was, we're kind of just playing it off, said, it's been in the making for years. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, yeah. And I, to the person, but afterwards, Stephen and I were sitting in the hotel having breakfast, and I said, hold on. Like, he was talking about something completely different. I had to take out my phone and write that down. It's been in the making for years. So has your behold moment. There's nothing that says that the divorce has to come. There's nothing that says that the promise not being fulfilled has to be my future. I'm going to steward this moment well. This moment. Well, my husband, he whatever. Or my boss. Okay, you can't change that. But I can change what I do right now. I can change what's in here. Change the character of my heart. That line just hit me. It's been years in the making. So has your destiny if you're stewarding your moments. So has your destiny, the destiny of you and your family and those closest to you, because you've been stewarding those moments, and you can stand there years from now when everyone's like, wow, look at, man, you're just such a man of God or a woman of God, and your kids serve God. What? It's been years in the making. It's been years of stewarding one moment after one moment after one moment, giving glory to Him because I want to increase. Yeah. Amen.